Goldman Sachs pays out millions in big bonuses from as long as 3 years ago.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. More on Goldman in just a moment. First, the Commerce Department just moments ago called on the establishment of a privacy bill of rights for all users of the Internet. These rules would be for companies that collect consumer data online and use that information for marketing and advertising. Investment bank and giant Goldman Sachs is going to dole out more than $110 million in bonuses to its top executives. A report today in Bloomberg said it's a delayed payout from last year and from the year 2007 for record-setting bonuses then. Christine Harper covers Goldman for Bloomberg, and she's with us now from New York. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Doing well. This feels like a pretty sneaky move. They delayed bonuses until they were out of the what we call the outrage zone.
Well, the truth is they delayed this when they awarded them back in 2007, and that's actually sort of what everybody's supposed to do. What's interesting here really is that it's just the sheer amount of money they're still receiving, even though we've been through the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
You said some big dollar figures here. How much are we talking?
We looked at about six of the top executives who are listed in the public filing, so it doesn't include a lot of other people who get tons of money. Those guys are getting a little over $111 million in stock.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. These are years 2007 and 2009. What happened to 08?
Oh, well, 08, they really did feel they couldn't pay at least the top people bonuses. So people like Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO, and Gary Cohn, the president of the firm, did not take any bonuses that year. They considered themselves making gigantic sacrifices. Last year, however, the top people were getting bonuses in stock only of about $9 million, and a portion of that is delivered to them this year.
Have the banks and Goldman specifically learned anything?
I think they have learned how to deal a little more carefully with the political ramifications of their actions.
The public relations part of it.
I think they learned some lessons on that score. And, you know, but their main job is trying to make money for their shareholders, and they're going to do what they can to do that. And obviously that sometimes involves taking a lot of risks.
Christine Harper, who covers Goldman Sachs for Bloomberg News. Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are higher right now. The S&P and NASDAQ by more than a half a percent. The Dow up 32 points at 11,490. The Labor Department said today first-time jobless claims were pretty much flat last week. Fell just a slight tad. Well, a tad is slight. FedEx reported a quarterly profit this morning that missed Wall Street expectations. Global stocks were mostly lower, but not by much. A tad. The Federal Reserve meets today looking to limit the amount of fees debit card issuers can charge on their cards. What does that mean for consumers and businesses, though, that accept those debit cards? Jeff Miller is chairman of the National Association of Convenience Stores. He owns a small chain of shops in Virginia. He's with us now from Norfolk. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
How is your business affected by these interchange fees?
We get charged approximately 2% on every transaction that takes place in our stores with a credit card. It's a really outrageous number. On a $50 charge, we pay the credit card companies 87.5 cents, 88 cents. If we were to take a check instead of a debit card, it costs about a dime to process a check.
How did we get here? Where did this come from?
I guess the basic way to say it is we have about 10 banks that get together to set these interchange rates that they will charge each other. And these rates have been set in a cartel-like fashion for years. And I think what's happened is they've gotten a little greedy.
If these interchange fees are reduced in some way, do you foresee lowering your prices because that fee's been reduced?
Absolutely. Right now, our customers across the board pay about a nickel a gallon on gasoline more than they should because that nickel goes to the credit card companies.
Why not just not take debit cards?
In our industry now, roughly 65% of our transactions are paid for with plastic in one form or another. If I, as a retailer, said I'm not taking debit cards anymore, there's always a gas station across the street. So as a competitive guy across the street, he's going to say, geez, if they're not taking debit cards over there, I'm going to take them. I'm going to steal all those customers, and I'll make it up on the increased volume.
Jeff Miller, chairman of the National Association of Convenience Stores, joining us from Norfolk. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Larry King tonight hosts his very last primetime program on CNN. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, he's going to be remembered as a good interviewer and as a good product pitch man.
Before CNN, Larry King was a radio man.
Live from New York City, it's The Larry King Show, a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Larry King Show went national in 1978. Wesley Hyatt is a broadcast historian, and he says whether King was promoting pain relievers or anything else, the broadcaster made a name for himself for his convincing delivery of commercials.
They were so off the cuff that you really couldn't tell if it was taped or if he was going to go ahead and just say it as part of the show itself. And I think that's why a lot of advertisers tried to see if they could get him to pitch their products.
Larry King was part of a generation of personalities who were both host and product spokesmen. And Robert Thompson, television professor at Syracuse University, says that trend is returning.
The program and the advertising have suddenly become one. Now Conan O'Brien does it regularly. If you watch the Jimmy Kimmel show, he pitches any number of products.
And these pitches are pricey. American Express reportedly paid Conan O'Brien $1 million for one of his ads. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Finally, you may have heard the consumer advocacy group, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, has filed suit against McDonald's, claiming the fast food giant uses deceptive advertising to woo kids in. Things like toys and its Happy Meals that drive the kids to pester their parents to go to Mickey D's, where they eat high-fat, high-sodium food. What's next? A spokesman that's a clown? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
So here are some ideas to improve worker productivity. How about naps at the office or sports television breaks every hour? Sounds crazy, but it works.
What for sure we've seen are the different divisions of the company working together in a way that they never had before.
I'm Kai Rizdal, breaking bad office habits from the top down, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.